I finally, my husband decided that there was no future in it. We weren't getting ahead, we were just working. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to get out, and they came down to Illinois. Jean was just 6 weeks old, and Eileen toddler. And we came, and there's a family down there that wanted us to find their farm and on the shares, which we did 1 year. And this got it into a paying proposition when their son decided he'd like to take over. So, naturally, he got the farm, and we went into town. And the first job my husband got, because all he knew was farming, I guess he sold four dresses for a while. He's pretty young that part, as long as his friends left to buy him something. And then he went to work at Standard Oil Company in Bloomington, at the station. And he worked there, and he moved up to Bloomington. And that's how we that's where Peggy was born.
Now, when was she born?
She was born in 26 months after Jean. Actually, it was three of them in 3.5 years. In fact, I had 4 babies in 5 years, you might say. And then some fast-talking fellow came along and told me he was too good to be there in the filling station. He could make a good living selling Hoover vacuum cleaners, and talked him into it, which he did for 35 years. He sold and serviced Hoover vacuum cleaners, and most of the time he made a pretty good living, but he'd come across some time that was kind of lean, mm-hmm. you know, on commission. But he did pretty well, considering. So he liked that. He liked meeting people. And he hated to punch the time clock, and he was always of his own. Of course, it took him away from home a good many evenings.
I was going to ask if he had to be away from home.
Yeah. Of an evening for demonstrate. That was my day to demonstrate the Hoover cleaner, you know. Mm-hmm. Sat around and tried to sell it to him. Later years, he didn't do that. But he didn't like that life. And it was a free life. He'd do it, take time off if he wanted to. So that was me.
What kind of things were you involved with then when you moved out to Bloomington?
Just taking care of babies. That was it. No, we went to church. We used to take the children to church. And to Sunday school, and Peggy was little. She was a baby less than a year old. And the other two were in primary, and you know, the lower, I think it was nursery school, whatever it is they had in the church. Always took them to Sunday school. Did until they were, well, about high school. And then they decided they didn't want to go, only part-time.
Were you involved in the women's group at the church?
Not when the children were little. I didn't know how to learn about anything. Seth was a big town at that time. It was probably 30,000.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a lot more than the 2,000 from Farmer City.
What kinds of social things did you and your husband do?
Not very much. Not in those days.
Mm-hmm.
It was mostly taking care of children. Going to his relatives and my folks on Sundays. So having them up, then family dinner. That was about it.
How long did you live there?
Bloomington?
Mm-hmm.
We lived there about 2.5 years, and then Rose was promoted to supervisor. Had to move to Champaign. We moved to Champaign. And we were there about a year. He was made district manager, and we moved to Springfield, Illinois. And we were down there not quite a year. And that was about 1926. Yeah, just before the Depression. And it was just coming on, and the Hoover Company wanted to pay me $100 from the salary. And he was hot-headed and decided he wasn't going to take it. He had an office, and secretary and all that, you know. But he'd just quit and go to California, and he'd just sell Hoover's. He wouldn't take him on to work up again. So we just sold everything off in California. Now his brother had come out here, my sister-in-law, that time had been in the San Fran for CB, and they just couldn't stand another winter in the cold in North Dakota. And people came out here, and they wrote such glowing reports about how nice California was, and beautiful little houses they had. Well, it was just an ordinary little bungalow, but to her, not being out in the country, it was like a mansion. Mm-hmm. They came out in November, and we were out in January. Usually, my husband and his brother were seldom ever separated very much. They just had been brought up like twins. They were only 13 months difference in their ages. And they couldn't stand it since I was still out here and couldn't see them. So anyway, they didn't like it. We'd always go home, go back. Well, of course, the depression came. We couldn't get back. We didn't have money to move back. So we stayed.
What was it like for you to move around so much?
I didn't mind it. I don't know, I just didn't mind it very much. Now I would, but I didn't then. And so finally we moved and came back out here. We were in Pomona, and then we moved into Ontario. We lived in Ontario and Upland. And from there, down to Santa Ana. Well, by that time, the girls were getting tired of being moved around in school. And then, she was always very bashful, and it was hard for her to make friends. Darlene, it wasn't, as you could see. And so that was about the last place we moved while they were home.
Mm-hmm.
We did go to Whittier later, but the girls were all married then, and her son and I. But while they were home, they lived in Santa Ana, over 15 years. So they went to school in Santa Ana, all of them.
What was the trip to California like?
First time?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we had a brand new Overland. We started out, we didn't have a road map. And we stopped in Kansas City, and they mapped out a way thought we could go in January. Now. And after we left Kansas City, we didn't have any paved roads until we got to California. And some of them were kind of muddy. I know it's just even Mexico. Out of Santa Rosa, we got stuck in the mud. And there was a young fellow that was hip hacking. And in those days, we had a trunk that had a running board.
Mm-hmm.
And we had stuff strapped on the sides, you know. And the rest of the stuff was on top. And we'd tip their trunk out. And this young fellow wanted to ride, so we told him yes, if he'd help us, we got stuck. So we got stuck, and he helped push us out of the mud hole, and we finally got into Willard. And it was long getting along in the evening, so we decided we'd stop there. I guess he went on with somebody else. We'd never know what happened to him. But anyhow, we went to the hotel and got in there. It was cold at night. And they were getting ready to go to a box social. It's a little place.
Mm-hmm.
But they fixed us up in a room upstairs in the hotel. It had a stove in it, warm blankets for the two bedrooms, one for the kids and one for us. And got us some dinner. They had dinner and getting ready to go, but they fixed us up dinner. And then they went to Boxville. So the next morning we left early while the ground was still frozen so we could get over the mud.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only time we ever really got stuck in the mud, I guess. One time we had car trouble. I don't know where we were. We were in either New Mexico or Arizona, but we were 140 miles from the railroad. I know it said a sign there. And got some dirty gas, and we were having a hard time getting the old car to go, or the new car, the other car. And at that time, I think we had to pay 45 cents a gallon for gas. It was unheard of. It was big. That was terrible. But we finally got going. But that was the road just kind of wound around, and I know we stopped at a lodge. And they had Indian blankets hanging from the balcony down on the road. It looked so pretty.
Mm-hmm.
And it impressed me a lot, but I hadn't seen anything like that before. But, we had some bad weather. It took us 6 days to get here. Now, traveling from early in the morning till late at night.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it was after dark before we stopped.
Did you ever carry any of the driving?
I didn't drive, but that's my living test today. And I had to learn to drive then. Because I've been driving now about 16, 17 years. He's been gone almost 19.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a car there and everything. But I went to California driving school and learned how to drive. I was very hesitant about learning. And one time, Don, Marlene's husband. Because Marjorie finally threw out the guy that car. I said, Don, you know I'd never get across Whittier Boulevard. Guy'd had it wrecked. He just kind of turned on his nose. He can be so sarcastic sometimes. He doesn't mean to be, but he is. He just turned on his heel and walked away and said, well, you did good because of walking. You learned to death. Oh, I'd have just curious. I wouldn't let him know it. I told him that about 3 years ago, and he's been such the funniest thing. He said, worse, didn't it? So I went to California driving school and learned how to drive and been driving ever since. The good thing about going to them, you know when they get through with you what you can do and what you can't do. You know the rules and you know how to do it. Cost me at that time almost $100 to learn, but I was working. But anyhow, I'm glad now. I wish I'd learned sooner.
So when you arrived in California, where did you go?
We drove right to my brother-in-law's. And they had rented a little place across the alley. It was a little furnished house. And they had it all rented for us. They had dinner for us, and we went over and got in our own little house and got ready for the night. In January we came in, and I know it was warm, like Arlene said, in San Bernardino, and we came down. But the time we got to the Pomona, it had been raining. And this little place, they lived on 11th, and this is on 10th Street. It's all black down there now.
Mm-hmm.
But they were just little houses. I think we had a one bedroom, a front room, and a kitchen, and a built-in porch on this side of the bath, and on the other side was it was built on. It was used as a bedroom. When it rained, the rain just came right down that clapboard. It was like outside, practically. But we lived there, I think, about 4 or 5 months when we bought this little place we were selling about. Up in the north end of North End then, it's down, way down now.
Mm-hmm.
But it was the farthest street out north at the time, 1927.
Did you have expectations of what California would be like?
Oh, only thing I knew was that we had friends that had been out here years ago that telling how they used to go down the road and buy oranges. And just buy oranges anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
No, not especially. I just thought, well, I'll get out there, I can buy oranges cheap any place I want them.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, we'd go out about halfway between Pomona and Ontario on Holt, and they had fruit stands all along, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We'd buy what they call lug boxes for about 35 cents, and those great big ones, I think, were 75.
Mm-hmm.
We'd buy that, and we'd come home, we'd eat oranges at night till we'd go to bed, you know. Great big navels.
Mm.
That was luxury to us. But you didn't do that back in Illinois.
Mm. Now, your husband was selling hula vacuum cleaners out here?
Mm-hmm.
That's what he did?
Mm-hmm. Did that all his life out here. And a watch the hula company gave him, it was inscribed for more than 35 years of faithful service, which it was more than 5 years.
What kinds of things did you do out here? What kinds of things did you do with your children when they were little?
Not an awful lot, because we never had too much money. His brother and family, we used to be together a lot on picnics and go up to the mountains together, drive up there. We used to go out south of Pomona and climb the hills out there when we kids. Go to the park. I don't know, just nothing really special. Because all our friends out here were in the same boat. Nobody had any money much. Went to Sunday school and church and had the church parties. And all our children out here were about the same age as the friends we had. My brother's two girls, and then we had friends that had children. They're all about the same age. And they've all grown up together, you know, and they still are friends.
Mm-hmm. Are we talking about you're spending a lot of time with them doing little projects, that you always had projects for them and that kind of thing?
Oh, yeah, to keep them busy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I did. I always had the idea, I didn't want my children in other people's homes. I wanted, if they were children, I wanted those children in my home.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'd know what they were doing. And they were always, the neighborhood was always welcome to come. Sometimes I had to come sit down on them, they got rowdy, but I always kept things for them to do, you know, the colored books and crayons. And I remember one year at Christmas time, we had a little tree, and I got popcorn and cranberries, and it was one of those Santa Ana winds where you don't go out and the dirt was just blowing everywhere. And I kept them busy stringing cranberries, my popcorn, and they were stringing popcorn. They had a great time decorating the tree, and they made little things on it. And I know the first Christmas we were out here, it rained all day long. And I went to her sister's for Christmas, and we were by ourselves. And I know we had a lot of little games that came from the dime store, and we played games with them all day. But it was kind of a lonesome Christmas, our first Christmas out here in California. But we kept them busy, so they didn't realize. I know they decorated, they had a tree. I let them put the ornaments on themselves. After they went to bed, it was kind of lopsided when they got to here. I had to change them around where they looked decent. But I never had a Christmas tree when I was growing up. My mother thought it was too expensive and too much work. And I went to my brother's one Christmas, and they had the Christmas tree, but they put it up after the children went to bed on Christmas Eve. They didn't have it up ahead of time. And then my sister-in-law and I decorated it. And I had never done it before, and I thought, well, that's so nice. If I ever have a family, they're going to have a Christmas tree, no matter if it's a little one, every year, and they're going to decorate it, which they have. But sometimes during the Depression, there was a little tree on stands. We couldn't afford any more, and it was a number of years before we had lights for it. But they've always had a Christmas tree, such as it was. But they didn't know the difference. We had fun.
Were you as strict as you can?
No. No, I wasn't. There's just one thing we never would allow them to do, and that was talk back to us. As my husband said, sassing. It wasn't very sassing. He and Arlene used to get into it because he would argue, and he'd take it to the sassing him. And they had some royal battles sometimes, but no, they weren't allowed to sass us. That's one thing I wouldn't put up with. But they got away with a lot of things that I never would have gotten away with when I was growing up. For instance, when we were little, we had one of these breakfast nooks, you know, the benches, and having dinner, Arlene didn't like her mashed potatoes. Trouble was, her dad would help their place and give them too much food and expect them to eat it all. And she argued them she wouldn't eat her mashed potatoes, and they got cold. You know how thick and cold mashed potatoes are. And he made her eat them. She didn't like mashed potatoes for a good many years. Now, Jean didn't like mashed potatoes either. She never said a word, but when I got ready to set the table, her mashed potatoes were all around the edge of the plate underneath. Never a word said. She got away with it. I had to laugh when I cleared up the table, but I wouldn't tell on it. That was the difference between them.
What about decisions in your home? Were they fair between you and your husband, or did he pretty much make the decisions?
Yes, I guess I let him make the decisions. When it comes to disciplining the children, we had a pact that no matter what one of us thought, the other one was doing it, his hands off. A lot of times I thought he was too strict with them, but I wouldn't say anything. And the same way with him. If I was doing something that he thought I shouldn't do, he'd wait till later. We never crossed, you know, before them. But if it came to any great big decision, why, I let him make them. If it's something I really wanted or wanted to do, you kind of plant the seed ahead of time and talk about it a little bit, and pretty soon it was his idea, and that was fine. But if it was something that didn't make any difference to me, why, that's okay, he's doing what he wanted to do. No, I was always brought up as the man who started the head of the household, and that's the way I liked it. Of course, after years when I got to working, Maybe I changed my mind about that a little bit. But I got along pretty good. But in the big decision, now if I was going to buy something big, or he was, we always talked it over. Mm-hmm. And the one time he wanted to trade cars, and I thought our car was good enough. We just got paid for it, and I didn't want car payments. And I wanted a new refrigerator. He thought my refrigerator was good enough. Well, it was one that, it was all right, but it didn't have a freezer. It had one of those little things in the middle, you know, just for ice cubes, and I wanted the one with the freezer. I was working, I could buy it. So eventually, he got his car. I said, all right, you go get your car, I'll get my refrigerator. So that's where it ended. He got his car, and I got my refrigerator. Of course, we each paid for our own, but I was working to do it. But I wouldn't have done that without, you know, talking it over and everything is okay. Not any big thing like that. Mm-hmm. But his dad always had the best horses in the country. And I had him change cars every other year. Of course, he was a salesman, and it was a little prestige, but he always liked nice cars, too. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we couldn't afford them, but we had them. You know how that goes. Yeah. And it was always a car payment. We just get one paid for and trade in. And it was just another car payment. I think they kept us poor.
How long did you stay in the, that little house that you bought?
Oh, a little over 2 years. Mm-hmm. And then the bottom just dropped out of everything and being on commission. And I guess he tried to sell real estate, and it was hard to sell real estate in those days with the way things were. So we just gave up the house and moved into an apartment. It was the only thing to do. He couldn't, just wasn't making enough to pay for that and groceries and everything. It's kind of hard to do, but of course people say, well, we lost the house and all that. Now you don't think much about it, but those days, well, it was kind of a talk about it. But it was kind of a relief to get out from under all the big, the payments. They weren't so big now, as you look back, but they were big at that time to us. But I think it taught us one thing. There's not spending your money before you get it. In commission, you buy it and think, well, I'll make it.
Mm-hmm.
You know how that goes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we didn't make it. So we learned that we had to know how it's going to get paid for before we bought it.
Mm-hmm.
It taught us that. It's kind of a hard lesson, but it taught us that.
How long after that did you go to work?
Well, it was about, not quite easy. Well, that happened during the winter time. And just a year, it was the next summer.
Mm-hmm.
I got a job in laundry here. $12 a week.
Here in Pomona?
Mm-hmm.
What made you decide to go to work?
Well, because we needed the money.
Mm-hmm.
We need the money is, like I told you, that one time I put the children to bed up, they don't remember. But there wasn't anything much to eat. That did it for me. My husband didn't want me to. You know, he's the old school. He's the boss, he makes a living. But he was kind of glad I did, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But I only worked there about, not 3 or 4 months.
Was there a lot of discussion before you went to work?
No. I just told him I was going to go out and get a job of some kind. And that was the only thing I could find. There wasn't many jobs then that a woman could do.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just about fair time, and they needed extra people in the laundry. And I just went to work. I operated a shirt press. Because I lost about 10 pounds the first 6 weeks I was there. It's hot weather. It was hard work, I'll tell you.
And how old were you then?
Oh, 1927, I was about 29. I was born 1898. You
mm-hmm.
take the year and put two more on top of it. That was a very close. That was the birthday I hated to see come to work, but any birthday I ever had was my 30th.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think she still remembers me talking about it. 40, I didn't mind. 50, I didn't mind that either, but 30, that was terrible.
What did you feel like you were getting old?
Oh, yes, I was getting out of my 20s. That was terrible. Awful.
Mm-hmm.
By the time I got to 40, I didn't care. Yeah, it was about 42, I guess it was. I was working deadly. Mm-hmm. And I was afraid I was so old then they wouldn't take me. Mm-hmm.
And so you worked at the laundry for a couple, about 4 months?
About 4 months is all.
And then what did you do?
Just stay home. Okay. The last time we had moved to Ontario. I had been transferred from Pomona to Ontario. And then I did help in the grocery department. In the summer, they manned on the store. They had a big order from college here. And I sewed on rings, the draperies. And then they asked me if I didn't want to stay and learn how to make them. And I said, yes.
What store was that?
It's Klein's Furniture in Ontario. Mm-hmm. So I learned how to make handmade drapes, lined and interlined. Which helped me a lot in years later.
Mm-hmm.
And I did it for a store in Santa Ana. But it just sort of worked into that job. I just took it to help out and to make a little money for myself. I think she paid me 50 cents an hour, something like that. And Lewis worked in the same store. He told Hoover to that store. So I'd go to work with him in the morning, you know, and we'd come home for lunch and then go back. Irene was left in charge of the other two.
And when you were both working, did he help out around the house more, or did he still have
well,
all
he,
of that?
Well, he still had evening appointments mm-hmm. a lot. Yes, he helped when he could. He did work outside the house in the yard and like that. Mm-hmm. But I'd have to come home and wash and cook and mm-hmm. do things like that. You know how you have mm-hmm. to do when you're working. Now I wonder how he did it all, because I'd be so tired when I got home. And they'd be hungry little mouths waiting for something to eat. For me to fix.
And you went to work at the furniture store with that to help out with the family
mm-hmm.
income or with
mm-hmm.
that thing?
No, that was to help out.
Mm-hmm.
With that. See, that would be in about 1930,
31. Mm-hmm. And how long before you moved to family?
We moved there in 1934. We came back to Santa Ana, came back to Pomona, and my husband had a tooth pulled, and there was another thing in the bloodstream, and just overnight he came down with a night of fever. And he was in bed 98 days. Just the time they had that big earthquake in 1933, because they had planned to move him into Los Angeles to a county hospital. And that earthquake came that night, and there wasn't room for him. And I was so glad because I wanted to take care of him. And I thought, well, going there, I'd never have money to go in to see him. And especially if I was working.
Mm-hmm.
So I took care of him. Washington's birthday, he took sick. And we were just getting ready to move to Santa Ana then. And it was Memorial Day before he was ever able to get up.
And what did you get your money doing last month?
Well, I had a sister-in-law back east that was working that sent me $20 a month. And I got food from the welfare a couple of times. I know I got some flour and something. And we just had to get along. My rent wasn't very much. About 2 cents. Paid the rent. And I said, we didn't have what we wanted to eat, but we had things that we could get along on.
Mm-hmm. You didn't work here yet?
No, I didn't. Mm-hmm. And that summer, we moved to Santa Ana, and that's where we worked for 15 years. But he had a job waiting for him as soon as he was able.